بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. From me, Bibi Aisha here on Radio Islam International, Midwave 1548. We are your One Youth Talks, also simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. Now, I'm very excited about today's show because, as we know, there's been a lot of hype about the success of the matriculants for 2017, concerns of how marks can be better, performances can take a huge change for 2018, and a lot of concern of how we can move forward and get even better marks and help our youth progress for this year. So I decided that today will be the opportune time to take advantage of this subject, because obviously holidays are over, everyone would hopefully be paying attention, and we can do justice to the advice that will be shared by my panel of experts today that inshallah can help the matric class of 2018, help their parents, help their families, and help their educators. You know, we always place so much of emphasis on the matriculants and their exam and how much of stress they have and the anxiety that they may be experiencing, and we want them to perform very well, we want them to have good marks, obviously, but we forget the team that are there behind the scenes, the educators, the management, the school governing body, the principal, the district officials. What about the parents and the family? When one learner is writing an exam at home, the entire family is involved. Mummy is sacrificing, daddy is sacrificing, siblings are sacrificing. We're all making dua and we all want our sibling or child to prosper. So remember this, you know, when you're writing an exam, there's a whole team behind what is actually going on. So let's not forget that this is a show, inshallah, that will help to educate, empower and benefit the whole family, especially the matriculant. So on my show today, our topic, like I said, is matric SOS. So we're not going to say SOS, we're not looking for help. We are going to build on the skills that we already have and master study skills, help to plan our time, get advice on how we can plan early. So when the exams actually are at our doorstep, our attitude will be, bring it on, I can do this, inshallah. So I'm very excited to have my first guest, who is Junaid Bayat, no stranger to many people. He is a life coach and a study coach and creator of the Accelerated Learning Program. And he's going to be sharing with us a lot of beneficial information. He is from KZN. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our first guest, Junaid Bayat.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Bibi Aisha and the listeners. I'm also very excited to be on the show. So shukran for the opportunity to, you know, add value to your listeners,
Afwan,
as well as everybody else in the studio.
Afwan. I'm so excited to have you on air with me today because, you know, I'm we're always in contact and I get to see the amazing work that you do. And I know you're very passionate about empowering our youth. And
yes,
I just want your views. What do you think about matric results for 2017? What are your views?
You know, the results are actually, I don't believe in standardized testing. So
yes,
results are not a true reflection of knowledge. And I keep saying this. Yesterday I was at the National Conference for Teachers and I told the teachers, stop teaching for exams and tests.
Mm-hmm.
Because tests and exams are not a true reflection of knowledge. We need a society that's learning and studying and teaching for knowledge, lifetime. You know, so my opinion on the results, the matric results, is, like I said again, it's not a true reflection.
Yes.
We need to move away from the focus of the matric results because that's what's creating so much of pressure and stress in the system.
Which is very true. I mean, we need to obviously focus a lot more on character building,
yeah,
and life skills, which I keep harping on about. But in an ideal world, truth be told, that matric results do matter. Matric results do matter when it comes to obviously acceptance at universities, at colleges, you know, job opportunities. Obviously, it helps, you know, the departments across the country and,
yes,
you know, the education department realize we're doing this right, we're not doing this right. So, unfortunately, these steps do matter.
They do, right?
Yes.
But let's look at it in context properly. Now, last year's results, they say there's an improvement in some areas, there's a drop. This hasn't impacted, if we look at it on a global perspective,
yes,
South Africa is still ranked third last in the world.
Mm-hmm.
In math and science, we still last in the world. In reading, we last in the world. So if you look at it in the bigger context, in the global perspective, it hasn't made any improvement. If we look at it from a social perspective on the community at large, this is South Africa at large, the little improvement, I don't know. I don't really think it's going to make that huge a difference, because we don't have an increased number of universities, or because we still have the same numbers.
Yes.
And from the 650,000 that wrote the exams, 480,000 passed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from there, only 200,000, just under 200,000 are going to get placed to university. Because
okay.
That's how much of capacity that we can take.
Yeah.
So that's why I say there's a you got to look at it in a wider perspective.
Yes.
Is it going to really matter? It's still the same because the universities haven't increased. And now more people are going to be unemployed because they can only take 190 some odd thousand in the universities. The rest are probably going to end up in colleges. Even there too, we have maxed. So yes, there was an increase, but like I said, you need to keep the big perspective in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
We still rank last in math and science. Still rank last in the world according to the Pearls report released in October 2017 in reading. So our literacy rate is last in the world. And global ranking, our education system is third last in the world.
But it's not all doom and gloom. You're speaking to an optimist. We all have to be optimistic.
No, I
fully understand. And it's good that you're obviously sharing this knowledge with the listeners because, like you say, we need to get the full picture.
Yes.
The full picture. And obviously, our hope and our dua is that, society wakes up and realizes that, whatever it is that I do today has an impact on my future. And
absolutely.
I need to get up and make my future happen. Nobody's going to do it for me.
Absolutely.
So we need to obviously, inshallah, the budding entrepreneurs, whatever is your career, your passion, whatever you hope to do, let's give them these tools to get there. So let's get started. Junaid, please share with us your 7 keys to success you believe.
So the 7 keys to metric success, it's called the 7 factors. And the word factors is an acronym.
Mm-hmm.
Each letter is going to stand for something, right? So what are these 7 factors to metric success? The first one is F from the factors, which means this year you need to focus and forget everything else. Like you mentioned earlier on, when a student is writing that metric final exam, it's the parents, it's the teachers, it's the community. I always tell people, when a child writes metric, the entire community is writing that exam. So there's a whole support system. So you as a student, you need to focus on how you want to finish. How do I want to finish? Then you also need to focus on what exactly will good results do for me. Not at the end of the year, next year and 2 years down the line. We need to move away from short-term thinking. But the third most important point, listeners, especially students, I want you to identify and... Okay, let me take a step back.
Yes.
The biggest trap to focus and concentration is distractions and interruptions.
Mm-hmm.
So I need you listeners, especially the students, I need you to minimize your distractions so that you can maximize your focus. What are the biggest distractions? There are 5 F's that you need to look at. The first F doesn't start with an F, but it sounds like an F. Your phone. Those multi-function devices, when you're busy studying, suddenly there's a message. Now you want to check, hey, who sent me the message? What happened here? Now that's a distraction. So we need to minimize distractions so that we can maximize focus. The second F is food. You sit down to study, and then you get hungry. Stomach goes, brrr. You run to the kitchen. You're looking at the fridge. Before you know it, before you decided what to eat, 20, 30 minutes, you lost time.
But I have to just interrupt you there. Sometimes when you're studying, you do get the munchies. You do.
So have it all day by you. I got no issue with it. I have no issue with you eating, but eat there. The moment you woke up and go to the kitchen and then go to the fridge and then by the time you decide and by the time you come back, half an hour, 45 minutes is gone. You got your munchies, keep it on the desk, right there. It's there. I eat whilst I study.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Makes sense.
So that was food, right? The third one is a critical one. Everybody, listeners, need to take note. Is family. Family can become a huge distraction and interruption. And let me give you examples. And this girl can relate to a lot. The first one I'm going to start in family is with mommy. Our beloved mommies, Mummy, innocently, the child is busy studying in the dining room, and mummy will tell, darling, quickly go to the kitchen, turn the pot for me, or, you know, stir the pot, or switch the stove off.
Mm.
Darling, quickly do this for me, quickly do that. Now, out of respect for mummy, you stop what you're doing, and you go and do that, and now that's a distraction.
Yes.
It takes the human mind about 17 to 18 minutes just to get back on track where it was. So you lost out. Then we look at daddy. Daddy, you know, sometimes you're busy studying in the dining room, and daddy is watching TV in the lounge, and he's asking, yay, and suddenly you're distracted. What's going on with daddy?
Mm.
You know, so that can become a distraction. Or daddy will tell you, darling, can I have a cup of tea, please, quickly? Now you have to go and make tea. And then if you've got little siblings, you know, siblings running around, and they come to you while you're studying, can I borrow your pencil? Can you lend me this? And then no, and then they go running, crying, by mommy, mommy, not letting me this.
Mm.
So these are distractions and interruptions. Then the fourth F is friends. Now, I must tell you, all you matriculants, you know, your friends, even though your best friends, they'll tell you, you know, especially when it comes to test time, they'll tell you, listen, I didn't study for this. We're going to wing it.
Yeah.
Trust me, those are the friends that did the most amount of study. So please make sure you listen to yourself and not your friends. Then also with Wi-Fi, your friends will give you Wi-Fi calls, and, you know, that's distracting. So you have set times when you look at your phone, when you look at your social media, and set times when you're studying, no distraction. And the last F is Facebook and social media.
Yes.
Now, I'm not against you having, you know, social media. I know your social life is important. But what I'm saying is there's a time for everything. When you are busy studying, when you have your schedule, you study time is study time. Eating time is eating time. Social, you know, socializing time is socializing time. So that was the F from the factors. The second one is A. A stands for I need to become an active learner and I need to take action.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you want something, you want the good results, you want a good career, you got to do something to get it. It's not just going to fall on your lap. And, you know, like I always tell the Muslim kids, you want Jannah. Everybody wants Jannah.
Mm-hmm.
You think Jannah is just going to fall on your lap? No ways. You got to read Salah, you got to read your Quran, you got to do good, you got to fast. There are things you need to do. Same story with school. You got to take action. And one of the most important things I want you as students to do, and parents, you need also need to make sure your child has a map. What is a map? A map stands for my action plan. You must have an action plan for the year. Okay? So you also need to become an active learner. An active learner means you're involved in the lesson. You're asking questions. You're doing something with what you've learned. And here's the biggest tip that I want all of you to actually take heed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Metrics. One action I want you to take, and that is whatever you learned in class, whatever you learned from the textbook, I want you to go and watch a video of what you've learned on YouTube. And listeners, how many of you have learned something from a video on YouTube? We all watch YouTube, second most visited website in the world. But just to quote a study done by Google in 2016, they went to 204 schools. They said teachers are teaching this information. They've also got, kids also have textbook. What will happen if we added a video? And here's what was surprising. Students' understanding of what was learned and taught by the teacher and the textbook increased by 71%. So what we know is students are actually understanding their work better when they watch a video. So go and watch a video.
I mean, taking into consideration that people learn differently, you know, some are tactile learners, some are visual learners, so that makes perfect sense.
Absolutely. Everybody will be able to relate to a video.
Yes.
So that was the A. C stands for you need to concentrate and create mental pictures when you are learning. It also means you need to condition new success habits for this year. But let's talk about this creating pictures. Why I say creating pictures, when we learn, the human mind actually processes pictures faster than any other sense. It's the most dominant sense. So what we also know is that the first reference of learning for the brain is always a picture. If I wrote the word mother, right, the first thing that happens in your brain is you have a picture of your mother. If I wrote car, there's a picture of a car. There's always a picture. So whenever you learn, you need to visualize what you are learning. You're learning about DNA, RNA, visualize it, picture it. You're learning about polynomials and graphs, visualize it. Everything needs to be visualized. You need to create these pictures, okay? The T stands for you need to take lots of notes, right? Now, one of the ways in which I want you to take notes is, listeners, especially matriculants, you need to learn how to explain your notes in your own voice and record it. Once you record it, you now can listen to it over and over again. So what happens is, I just give you one student, right? One student, Zakelem Charlie, you'll find her video is on YouTube on my channel. She was failing. She, in fact, got about 32%. So we did one strategy. We made her record her notes, and I made her listen to it when she's sitting in the bus, when she's walking, when she's doing her chores, when she's sleeping. You got the notes on, you know, replay, keep playing on repeat over and over again. If you listen to a nasheed, if you listen to anything over and over and over again, what happens?
You memorize it.
You get, yeah, you know the words off. Exactly. This child went from 33% to 96%.
Oh, mashallah.
Right? Now we've got thousands of similar stories where you see they say, you know, I was down here and just by recording the notes, and these kids love having their headphones on. So what if you just now started listening to your notes? You know?
Mashallah, so what a clever way. So that, innovative, yes.
Alhamdulillah. That was T. So we're using the technology to our benefit, right? Then O stands for you must be organized. I must be organized, right? I must be organized with my time. I must be organized with my subjects, with my books. You need to be very organized. And one of the ways in which to organize your time is everybody must have a weekly schedule. Not a daily schedule, but a weekly schedule. So if anybody wants one, Bibi Aisha, I will email you a blank weekly schedule for students.
Yes.
It starts from the morning. It's got blocks of half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is you as a student, you need to know, when am I at my best? When am I at my worst? Some students are, you know, they're good morning people. But some are, they're terrible in the morning.
Yes.
Some are night owls.
True.
Right? So you need to know, when are you at your best? And you need to make your study sessions when you are studying at your best. No use you trying to study when you're at your worst.
Mm-hmm.
It's not aligned. You're going to be actually finding it more difficult. You need to study when you are at your best. So that's being organized, right? Also, make sure your notes and your books are, for each subject, is organized. It's kept so you know where everything is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The R stands for revision, right? I know this is what students hate. But let me ask you this question, Bibi Aisha, and listen.
Mm-hmm.
Is 2 minutes a long time or a very short time?
It's actually a very short time.
It's a very short time. Now, what if I told you there's a two-minute strategy that you can use that will boost your retention of the information you learn by 400 to 500%?
Wow.
Would that interest you?
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
So, what is this two-minute strategy? All it means, you need to take 2 to 3 minutes per subject every day. So what you need to do as a matriculant, every day at the end of the day, look at your timetable for that day, look at the first period. What did I do in this period here, this subject? You take 2 minutes, you actually visualize all the keywords, the key ideas, the key concepts. Then you verbalize it, you explain it in your own words, and then you summarize it, you write it down. You just do this for 2 minutes. You normally would get around about 5 to 7 things.
Yes.
You just take the key points. And if you do this every day, right, for the whole week. In the weekend, what you do is you take 10 minutes per subject. So you do 3 subjects on Saturday and 3 subjects on Sunday. That's half an hour. On a daily basis, to do every subject is going to take you 12 minutes. Because you're doing, I'm not counting LO, right?
Yes,
LO
yes.
is too easy.
Yes.
So your 6 other subjects times 2 minutes is 12 minutes. Now, what if you did this every day, you're going to boost your retention of the information by 400 to 500%. You see, and the last one is S.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you need to do is you need to practice how to be in a good state of mind. Yes, we may have issues. Yes, there's things going on in my life. You know, might be going through a struggle, a very challenging time or a difficult time. You need to learn how to manage your state. And what you need to do is also learn how to compartmentalize so that you can maintain the state, because the learning state is going to be crucial for you as a matriculant.
Yes.
All right? And one of the most important things is learn to leave all the issues one side. I'm not saying just discard it completely. Acknowledge it's going to be there. For now, I need to just, you know, be in this learning state. I need to be in the zone to be able to learn this work. I'll sort this out when I'm finished. So we got to learn how to be in a very good state and also learn how to get into the learning state. So I'm in the zone. So those are the factors, the 7 factors of learning. F for focus and forget everything else. A stands for become an active learner and take action.
Mm-hmm.
C stands for create pictures, concentrate and condition new success habits. T stands for take down notes, lots of notes, and record the information, use the technology. O stands for organize yourself, have a map. An action plan, my action plan, and organize your time, study according to when you are at your best. R stood for revision. Do the 2 minutes per subject every day. It'll boost your recall and retention by 400 to 500%. In the weekend, you just do 10 minutes for the whole week's work per subject. And the last one was S, which was state. Learn how to manage your state, how to manage your emotions. So there we go.
That's amazing. It's amazing. And it's not just something that matriculants can use. I mean, our young listeners can use it. Us as adults, you know, if we want to focus on you know, improving our careers. I mean, you know what? As we're chatting now, I'm just thinking about, you know, those that are learning, doing HEFs. You know, our Hafizas, our budding Hafizas, those young boys that are doing HEFs. I mean, this is also something that they can implement in their lives to, inshallah, enable them to memorize the Quran easier.
Definitely.
This is fantastic. Junaid, you know, it's always a pleasure chatting to you. I definitely will be having you on my show more often.
Inshallah.
I do believe you're doing a workshop currently in Lens.
Can I just tell you?
Please, I am
in Lens. I just landed this morning.
Yes.
Listeners, I'm having a free parents workshop at the Nurul Islam Hall. This is sponsored by the Engine Trade Group. So we are at the Nurul Islam Hall, and I'm talking about understanding your child's personality and learning style. It's a 3 1-hour workshop. It's a high value content workshop where people told me, you know what, they would have paid up to 500 rand to attend.
Okay.
So get yourselves down here. It's free.
Inshallah.
You'll understand your child's personality type and learning style as well as their language patterns and a little bit more.
Okay. Junaid, jazakumallahu khairan for your time. Inshallah, all the best for your workshop, and we look forward to chatting to you again soon. Quickly before we go for an ad break, just please give us your contact details so our listeners can contact you for further information.
My cell phone number is 083-786-9657. My email address is junaid@junaidbayat.com. And my website is junaidbayat.com, www.junaidbayat.com.
Jazakumallahu khairan, and all the best for your future project, inshallah.
Allah bless you and the listeners. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Waalaikum assalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. And there we have it, 7 steps for success from Junaid Bayat from the Accelerated Learning Program. We have two more dynamic guests that we will be chatting to after the break. We're going to be breaking now for ads. Please do not go away. Jazakumallahu khairan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and you're back on your talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, and we just got some amazing 7 steps that we can implement in our lives, not just for matriculants, to be able to retain information, focus, and gain success in our areas of study, inshallah. My next guest is a very, very dynamic principal from Mitchell's Plain. He's the principal of Spine Road High in Cape Town. A very, very humble gentleman. He's also my very first guest speaker all the way from Cape Town, so I'm very excited to have him on the line with us. Mr. Riyad Najjar has been comes with lots and lots of accolades, and you know, the people that he works with respect him so much. According to Maulana Ishaq Peters, who is a member of the school governing body at Spine Road High, he says, or he quotes, "Every recipe to success has a secret ingredient. Mr. Najjar was our secret ingredient." And you know, it's so amazing to speak to a principal who is so loved by his pupils, by the educators, by the SGB, and whose school has done so well in the matric exams. They've had 100% pass rate, and mashallah, they've just really excelled. So it's a great pleasure to be chatting to Mr. Riyad Najjar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, sir. And
how are you? Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Aisha Bibi, and to all the listeners. Shukran for having me on your program.
Afwan, shukran for making the time. Like I said, my first guest from Cape Town. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now Mr. Najjar, like I said, you know, this article was written about you in the Cape Argus, so I did my homework. Your SGB thinks so highly of you, your staff are so inspired by you, your learners are so impressed by you. Subhanallah, your school has done really well in the matric exams for 2017. Please share with us your secret, because according to your members or your team, you're their secret ingredient for success.
Well, they were just being very nice to me, and I think the important recipe for success is having a good working relationship with each component in the education triangle, which is the parents, the teachers, and the learners. And, you know, I've been fortunate in working with some of the best teachers this side of the Southern Hemisphere, and I believe that They're doing exceptional work under trying circumstances. You know, our children come from mostly from Tafelsig, which has the highest mortality, teenager mortality rate in the world. But despite the effect of those factors, they excel. And we must just make the children believe that anything is possible.
Yes.
And it's a right of every child to have a quality education in
Absolutely.
Our country.
According to the article, they also mentioned that Stein Road High has had a matric pass rate, obviously, of 100%. And it's the only township school. Now, I'm not into labeling, but this is what the article said. You know, township school in that area.
No, it's in the whole of the Western Cape.
Yes.
We competed with the other former Model C schools and private schools, and only two schools in our district of 60 high schools attained 100% pass, of which we were one of them, and the other one was Weinberg Boys, which is a semi-private school.
Yes, alhamdulillah, mashallah. We are so proud of you and your team, and obviously we wish success to the matriculants, you know, from your school, and obviously for the matriculants that you have now for Team 2018. As a principal, what is your advice to all our listeners and to the matriculants of 2018, inshallah?
Well, I think the advice to all teachers and learners and parents is that, you know, the matric preparation should not start only in matric. They should have developed good studying and work habits as early as grade 10, you know, when they start the FET phase. So, you know, matric, we expect every child to pass.
Yes.
If they have been groomed from grade 10 as to what are the recipes and also the good practices that they should inculcate. So, you know, we do that at an early age, and at our school we do not wait until the child gets to matric, but way before that. And we then expect them not to pass, but to pass well. It's important that, you know, the matric examinations, 50% pass is, you know, doesn't get you anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do, we have an internal pass requirement, so from already grade 10, we have a Spine Road High pass requirement where the children need to get 50% for every subject in order to attain a pass. And, you know, when the standards are raised internally, then the external standards are met quite easily.
Yes, yes, because the children are obviously used to that standard of working. And when the exam pressure sort of arises, they can handle it. They're more calm because they've been used to working at that pace.
Yes, and in grade 12, the first examination, which is the March examination, and the importance of this examination is overlooked by even schools and educators as well as learners, because they feel that there are still other three examinations to make up. But what we do, we have a full-scale examination in March,
mm-hmm.
and most of the grade 11 work and the new grade 12 work that has been completed is tested. So it gives us an indication, and it also gives us early warning signs as to the lack of commitment of any individual learner.
Yes.
We also have our days extended for matrics. They have an extra hour onto the day every day, Mondays to Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
And Fridays is a test day. So every Friday they write short tests in all their subjects. So that keeps them focused throughout the year. And we try and complete the syllabus by June.
Yes.
All syllabi needs to be completed. So the rest of the year is used for revision and examination preparation. You know, there's many, many websites with question papers from all different departments in the country. So our children get an opportunity to go through all those papers and work through it. What we do after June is to look at our learners who are struggling, who have certain issues at home, who do not have the capacity or the time or the support at home, and we take them one side and we try and give them extra support.
That is amazing. That is amazing. So you're providing like a holistic program for your learners, seeing to their emotional needs as well as the academic
that
performance.
That's very important.
MashaAllah, that is amazing. What is your advice to parents that are listening in right now?
Well, you see, parents sometimes do too much for the children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to train our children to really become independent learners. And especially with due respect to our beloved mothers, they tend to to really have
overdo
a difficult
it.
Year.
Overdo it.
And they try and do so much and try and push their child. But it is very, very important for the parents to keep calm, to grant the children the necessary time, space, and opportunity, and also parents must never forget that the children are still should be treated like children.
Yes.
We discover that when the child is in the trick, the parents abdicate their parental responsibility and also you know, allow the children to go out, allow them certain privileges which they were not allowed to before. So, or when they were younger, we need to hang on to them as long as possible and guide. We are still the best in advising them. So never, never abandon and abdicate that core responsibility of parents.
Definitely. Mr. Najjar, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. And inshallah, we look forward to having you again. You know, you are clearly an inspiration, and I can understand why your team think of you as their secret ingredient to success, because MashaAllah, you are very inspiring, and may the Almighty reward you and everyone at Spine Road High in abundance for the amazing work that you are doing in empowering our youth.
Ameen and shukran for a wonderful program.
Afwan. Jazakumallahu khairan. Our du'as are always with you.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ameen, ameen. MashaAllah, there we've had it. We've got a lot of inspiring words, a plan of action by a very dynamic principal who's managed to bring out the best in the children at his school. MashaAllah, they've had an excellent success rate. Now, sitting in front of me, I have a very, very dynamic parent. She's a very, very hands-on parent. She's also on the school governing body at Nirvana Secondary here in Indonesia. A very active mummy, a mummy who also survived Matric 2017 because her daughter matriculated last year. And she's going to give us her perspective from a parent point of view as well as from the school governing body point of view. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Radio Islam International, Bilqis Makra.
Wa alaikum salam and jazakallah for having me.
Barakallahu fiq, it's only a pleasure. Okay, like I said, school governing body member advice and mummy advice to our listeners.
Okay, it's going to be a mixture of both.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start by reiterating what was said by Mr. Junaid Bayat and the principal, and that is that it's so important for the children to focus. And when I say focus, I mean they must let nothing distract them. So all the other issues in their lives must just be put on a back burner. Don't let it come in the way of what's important. Know your goals and work towards them. And let little things, you know, like the discipline issues, the behavior, the uniform. Don't let that be issues. Don't let the principal call you out because your hair is not properly cut or you're wearing the wrong shoe or whatever. You know, wear the right uniform. Set the right example. You're in matric. You're the big kids in the school. Set the example for the little ones. But at the same time, don't let these become issues to distract you from your learning and your education, because this year is so important. You cannot afford to miss one period.
Yes.
Every period the teacher is doing important work. You need to be in that class and you need to be focused and listening to what the teacher has to say.
Oh, definitely. As a member on the school governing body, obviously you interact very closely with the school management team, you know, with educators. You get to, you hear the discipline problems, like you say. You're obviously in touch with, you know, the latest developments in curriculum delivery and coverage. And obviously you know about the pressures with matric performance. So, you know, advice to parents on that level. What would you like to say to them? Because you are a parent as well.
The other thing is, also worth keeping with the focus, make sure that everything is done timeously. Your children need to make sure the SBA tasks are done. Don't nag, but, you know, just keep them aware of the deadlines. Simple little things. I know in March, all the children have to start with their registrations. So generally, you'll have a situation where in March, the principal will call for the IDs, and then suddenly, kids are taken out of school for a day so that they can go and apply for IDs. Don't do that. Go next week, Saturday. Most home affairs are open on Saturdays. Go apply for the ID so that it's here in time for the registration.
Mm-hmm.
So simple things like applications to universities as well. A lot of people focus on the fact that you've got until September to apply. Don't focus on the closing dates. Focus on the opening dates. Universities take applications from the 1st of March, others from the 1st of April. Put those applications in and then you know it's done. So you don't have that distracting you when you apply, when you're studying for your trial exams.
Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Get these things out of the way.
Yes, yes. And then also advice to parents whose children are still not very clear on a career path once they leave school.
That is a conversation you need to be having with your child much earlier. But if you haven't, now is not too late. Sit down, talk about what your child finds interesting, what your child likes doing, what your child doesn't like doing, what your child's strengths are, what the weaknesses are, and help your child to find what it is that they want to do next year and work on a path towards achieving that.
Often, you know, it's quoted that parents want children to go into certain areas that they didn't get an opportunity to follow, and that isn't fair.
No, you cannot let your child live your own dreams. Your child has his or her own dreams, and they need to do that. Whatever it is that will make them happy, because ultimately that is how they're going to achieve success, both in this world and in the year after.
Okay, now please, if you don't mind, take us through how you survived matric 2017, because I know your daughter matriculated last year, mashallah, she's done very well, and I know how you are as a mom and how dedicated and committed you are. Please tell us, what were your tips for success? So the mummies that are listening out there and the daddies, you know, inshallah, you can implement this.
Okay, Mr. Bayat spoke about being organized, and that is extremely important. Make sure you have your week set out so you know exactly when your child is supposed to be in tuition or in extra classes, when they're in school, when they're going to be studying, and even what they're going to be studying. So if you say, okay, on Saturday afternoon we're going to be doing philosophy, then for 2 hours block that out so that we know we're doing philosophy at that point in time. If you are a hands-on parent who can assist your child, by all means, assist your child. But sometimes it's often better to get in either professional help or let your child do it by him or herself.
Mm-hmm.
The children are actually very capable of doing their own revision. I had a discussion with one of the educators with regards to tuition, and what she told me was that often what makes the difference in a child's success in matric is not the fact that the child went for tuition, but the fact that the child spent that time learning that subject.
Yes, yes.
It's the time and the effort that the child puts in that ultimately reaps the rewards.
Definitely. And also something that we cannot overlook, you know, when a child is writing matric, like I said when we started the show, the entire family is involved. But they are the siblings, and they also have their own role to play in their own lives, and parents also need to split their time. So aside from this one child of yours is writing matric, your other children also have lives, in all fairness.
Yes.
So parents have to balance their time equally. I know as much as you want your child to succeed in the matric exam, you know, you also have to give off your time to your other children.
But also, apart from the other children, you need to also be focused as a parent. You need to be the parent. You need to be able to set boundaries for your child. To say, you know, no, you are studying now. We will do this later.
Yes.
And that must apply to all the children.
Yes.
So if the other children want to play PlayStation, they must also understand that it's not fair.
Yes.
And the other thing is, as a parent, I know Mr. Bayat spoke about food.
Yeah.
This is very important. The kids get really hungry. They eat a lot in the matric year.
Yeah.
But you need to be controlling what they're eating.
Yes.
So you need to be the parent, and you need to know if you've got chips and cold drink and crisp and sweets in the house, and that's what your children are going to be snacking on. But if you've got fruits and veggies and nuts, then that's what they're going to be snacking on.
Mm-hmm.
So be the parent in terms of making sure your children get the correct nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Ensure that they're eating nutritionally balanced meals at regular intervals. That's very important. They must also get good sleep.
Yes, very important. Rest. Yeah. Rest. They need to have rest.
I know we had this argument where at like 1 in the morning my child would still be awake doing math problems, and I'd say, you know what, now's the time to just go to bed.
Yes. No, obviously,
especially the
child.
Nights before an exam, they must get good sleep.
And ultimately, you know, we just make dua to Allah to always grant them success, inshallah, and increase them in knowledge, put them in understanding. Jazakum Allah khairan for your brilliant advice as always. I know you're doing a phenomenal job where you are, you know, as an SGP member as well and as a parent. And inshallah, you know, the advice that you've shared with our listeners will benefit them. Quickly before you go, in less than 30 seconds, what is your advice to our matriculants for 2018?
Stay focused, don't get distracted, and do the best you can.
Inshallah. Inshallah, may the Almighty accept. So we've come to the end of our show. Jazakum Allah khairan, Bilkis Makra, for being a guest with me in studio today. We look forward to chatting to you again in the year, definitely. Next week, inshallah, we're going to be discussing a very sensitive topic, something that, you know, we often don't focus too much on, but is very prevalent in our society. On the 15th of February is actually the International Childhood Cancer Awareness Day. And inshallah, next week, Saturday, I have the opportunity to be speaking to two of the therapists and counselors from CHOC, the Children's Cancer Hospital in Saxonwold. So we're going to be talking about childhood cancers, you know, signs to look out for, and what we as a society and a community can do to help make the lives of childhood cancer sufferers much more easy, much more pleasant, learn to be empathetic, and empower ourselves, inshallah. From me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, have an amazing week, inshallah. Remember us in your du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you success in all that you do. Jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.